Well, if you're watching the Discovery Channel and you hear that sound, it means that Les Stroud has been left somewhere by himself to fend for himself.
On purpose, no less.
But that's what the man does for a living, which is why he is Survivor Man. I've become addicted to this show over the last few months on the Discovery Channel and the Science Channel, and I wanted to have Les on the show to talk about his adventures just before Season 2 begins next Friday night. And so here is Survivor Man, Les Stroud, on KMOX. Hi, Les. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you inside? Do you have shelter? Do you have food? Do you have water? I worry about you.
Yeah, at the moment I'm sitting comfortably with coffee in hand, and I'm actually just going over the final mix on the Labrador episode that I just shot about a month back or so.
You did a show with a dog?
Well, what we did was I used to run a dog team for about 3 years, and they were, you know, I get a lot of, oh, come on, give us another winter show, give us another winter show, and I really didn't want to because the winter shows are tough. They're really hard for me. The cameras break down. It's tough going. But so I said, well, fine. If I'm going to do another winter show, why don't I do this one by dog team? So I actually travel the Labrador wilderness at the sort of tail end of their winter with a full dog team. It was great.
And normally you're out there and you're literally alone. You have no food. You have no shelter. You have no water. You do have your cameras, though. There are no other human beings around you, right?
That's right. Well, I do have also, like, there's a safety crew, like a production team, but they are usually at least a few miles away, and they're there in case of, you know, the worst should happen sort of thing. But I'm always extremely, almost to the point of being overbearing, but I'm extremely strict with them. And so I was like, look, if there's any problem, if, like, all the cameras break down and I need you to throw me another camera in, or if we have to move me or whatever, they're under strict orders, like, no food, no water around me, don't talk to me much, don't take me out of the zone. Come in, deal with the issue, and get out of my way. So I do have that, you know, in the behind the scenes, but the important thing for me is always to make sure that I don't break out of my zone, because I need to be alone for the 7 days to truly survive and show survival. So yeah, the whole point, even when I started this, was, you know, talking with networks, is, well, we'll give you some help or do this. It's like, no, I have to do this alone, or you don't have your story.
So you're not sneaking off to a cabin and having a cheesesteak before you go back to build the fire?
As much as I would love to, and as much as, like, you know, I mean, that's why just about every single one of these episodes that you've seen, you can bet when you see me talking about day three or day four, quite frankly, I want out of there. I'm, like, miserable on day three, day four, always, because, you know, at that point, you know, it's the middle of it all, and it gets pretty lonely, and it gets very cold, and I get sick of sleeping on a rock or a chunk of ice. And no, I ain't sneaking off anywhere.
Have you ever, in the middle of one of these, literally said to yourself, you know what, I have made a huge mistake in doing this. I'm wet, I'm freezing cold, I'm calling the guys, and we're just not, this won't be one of our shows. This will be the 3 days of videotape we throw away.
I actually, I got two scenarios for you, really. The first one is actually the very first time I ever did this, it's called Stranded. It was sort of like, we'll call it the original pilot version, and which you can only get sort of through me, basically. And what happened was, I went out to shoot it, very first time ever, and I picked the end of summer, hoping that, you know, the bugs would be gone, it'd be cool, all of this sort of stuff. Well, didn't we end up getting a heat wave? It was 102 degrees, and every mosquito in existence decided to wake up again.
Ugh.
And they tormented me. And I'm telling you, on day three of that very first one, yeah, I was real, real close to saying, this is stupid. I'm going to apologize to everybody. I can't do this. It felt like every single night I was just getting beaten up. And then the next time was actually this year, this season of Survivor Man, in the Kalahari Desert. You're going to see a scene where I basically I'm in a Land Rover at night, and my body temperature was actually not going down. It was 107 degrees in the shade.
Wow.
And yeah, and it took its toll on me, and I actually started to slip into what you'd call heat exhaustion or heat stroke. And at that point, I did this long sort of stare into the camera. You can almost see my pupils dilated, and I have a two-way radio for safety. It doesn't always work, because a lot of times I don't get a straight sight line and the radios don't work. But in this case, I took the radio and I put it up beside me and I turned it on, and I was sitting there thinking, the last thing I might have to do is grab for this radio and just call for the mayday, mayday, get me out of here, I'm slipping fast. And it was, my body was actually gaining in temperature during the night, and it took me about 3-4 hours of sitting still to get through this heat exhaustion. That was in this year's Kalahari, and that was probably the closest I've come to saying, guys, get me home. I can't do this.
And that's the episode we're going to see next Friday night, right?
I think they are opening up with the Kalahari. I haven't heard for sure, but I think they are.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Les Stroud, the star of Survivor Man, which starts Season 2 next Friday on the Discovery Channel. I've got to ask you about Bear Grylls, a guy who does a show similar to yours called Man vs. Wild, who has been caught in a little bit of controversy recently. And one of the reasons I asked you about whether you're really out there alone is because there are allegations that he's not out there alone, that he is getting assistance from the crew, that he has gone off to a cabin, that at one point they even had somebody dressed up in a bear suit for one of the scenes of his show. Well, have you heard those allegations, and what do you think of them?
Yeah, I've certainly heard the allegations, and I've seen the reports and so on. And you know, I'm not there producing a show. I'm not part of that. I don't know the man, so I can only, as any other viewer, I can only just sort of sit back, hear the allegations, and wait to see what's going on. And if they're indeed true, then it's certainly quite disappointing. For my part, you know, I started this whole concept, and I think in effect even this whole genre of Survivor Man over 6 years ago now. And when I began doing it, it was about this type of thing came up all the time. And you get into brainstorming sessions, you know, and some guy's saying, well, why don't we do this or why don't we do that? And it's always some kind of cheat. And not always, but sometimes it is. And I've always said, look at, for me, the barometer has to be this. If I can't go on a talk show like I am right now and tell the truth about what they see on the screen, then no. The answer is no. I'm not going to do it. I'm also trying to truly depict survival. And to do that, I've always felt that, you know, the only real way you can do that is to be out there without a crew, a camera crew. Now, we all know I'm coming home in 7 days. We know that. There's nothing to hide there. We know there's a safety crew for my backup. But I still need to be in that zone, and I believe you need to be alone to at least get as close as I can to showing survival for the 7 days. And so for that fact, I've never wanted to have a camera crew out there with me to take me out of the zone. And the rest of it, you know, I just have to sort of wait and see how it goes. But I guess that's where we're at with it.
All right. Well, I do have to ask you one thing in that regard. My wife and I just recently watched the one where you were in the forest in northern Canada, the Boreal Forest, is it called?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're trying to get out of there after building yourself shelter and trying to find food and keeping yourself alive. At the end of every show, you try to essentially escape from this environment by walking, and you thought there was a highway to the east, and you're walking there, and you kept coming across lakes and rivers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at one point in the show, there's a shot of you walking along the riverfront from the other side of the river. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that you're there with 50 pounds of camera equipment, and my wife and I want to know, did you plant the camera, cross the river, walk along there in front of the camera, and then cross back over the river to get the camera?
Yeah, part of me hates to say, yes, I do. and what happens, and you know, you gotta, oh man, you wouldn't believe how many times, like the frozen lake scenes, for example, great place for me to get a long distance shot because the lake's frozen, right?
Yeah.
So I'll set the camera up and I'll see, oh, a little cliff over there. I'll go up, I'll set it up on the cliff. I'll walk out of screen. I'll give my walking across the lake shot. I'll go back, rewind the tape, watch the footage. I cut my head off. Damn. And then I gotta put it on again, go back, walk across the scene, and hopefully capture the shot. What we're talking about here is when I started doing this, there was even some comments on, well, you know, keep it real gritty like home video. And I said, you know what? No, I'm behind this all, I'm still a filmmaker. And I have a lot of passion for my filmmaking, you know, never mind the survival. So I will look at a scene or a scenario and say, oh, you know what? If I were to put the camera up on that ledge that's, you know, 15 feet up or on the crux of that tree, that'd be a great angle to show me starting this fire. So I take the time to climb the ledge or climb the tree or walk way around. Or, you know, a classic example is a snow scene. I'm walking this trail. And it's so, in fact, I am actually doing this scene. I'm walking this trail. But I want you to walk it with me. So I'll go through the bush, through the thick, set up the camera, point it back, go back through the bush, and then walk the trail so I'm walking on clean snow. Because, again, I'm trying to present to you the story as I go through it. And that means I got to do what you just described, and it's a lot of work. I'll tell you, it's tough. But for me, I think in the end it's worth it because I hope that I get some compelling shots.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Les Stroud. His show is Survivor Man. If you haven't seen it on the Discovery Channel, you got to watch it whenever it's on, including season two, debuting next Friday night. Have viewers told you that they have used some of your Survivor tips to survive themselves?
You know, when we first started all of this, and then I started, you know, hooking up with a team and getting the broadcast licenses and making it a bigger show and all that, it was a lot of times, oh, you know, one day you're going to save a life with this show. And that almost was sort of cliche, and I would, yeah, sure, probably not, but, you know, whatever, let's just do what we do, and I like to get out there, I want to make the show and carry on. And, lo and behold, in the last 3 months alone, I've had three confirmed cases where people have been out, have had to survive in the wilderness for, a few days or what have you, and they've come out, they've been interviewed, and they said, well, I knew what to do because I watched Survivor Man. And in one case, it was a 12-year-old boy who actually saved the life of his father out in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. His father had been hit in the leg by his own sort of bow and arrow. They were both hunting together, severed an artery. The boy saved his father's life and got them out for help. And the first thing he said was, well, I knew what to do because I watched Survivor Man.
Wow.
So that, I got to say that with as much, humility and humble perspective as possible, because that's when, exactly, I sit there and go, wow, this is heavier than I thought it was going to be. It almost seemed cliche that someone might say that one day, and here I am with three different examples now.
That's great. Now, I hope there's one group of people who watch your show to learn something very important, and that would be any potential contestants on the CBS Survivor show, because that show's been on, I think, 13 seasons now, and not one person knows how to make fire. And yet, all the time on your show, you're making fire. I mean, you're doing it with the elements out there all by yourself. I think on one of these episodes, they gave you one match. But that lasted like one day or night or whatever it was. And the next day, you had to do the fire bow and the sticks and the flint and whatever you could possibly put together. Is that one of the biggest challenges of surviving, making fire?
Oh, by far it is. In fact, to counter that, people are always ask me, what's the number one item you should take for survival? And I know that a knife is extremely important. But for me, I prefer, even in the deserts or jungles where it's hot, a surefire way to make fire. For me, you give me that full-on butane lighter, and I'm a happy camper, so to speak, because to make a fire is quite difficult, and extremely hard when you're on your own and you don't have matches. So, yeah, I think that's one of the especially when you're out there without any matches or lighter or anything like that.
Les, how do you know what you can eat in the woods?
Well, I've got 20 years of survival experience behind me, and a lot of those experiences do carry across globally no matter where I go, but that doesn't mean I know what to pick when I go into the Costa Rican jungle. So I literally go down there, and I'll train with local people and say, okay, what plants are going to kill me? What plants can I eat? What can I do? What's going to help me here or hurt me? And I'll train for about a week or so on each location, learning the various survival methods of where it is I'm going to go. I mean, you just can't, you just can't know instinctively which plants to eat. You have to be taught that.
Have you ever picked something up, eaten, and went, oh, that was poison oak. That was a mistake.
time to time. Most more so in my own practice times when I've been, doing my own layman sort of learning, going out and practicing stuff, and I'll taste something, and tongue's getting a bit tingly here. I bet this is not a good thing. So on the odd occasion, for sure.
When you did the Canada plane crash show, another winter scene, which was terrific, you pretended for part of that show to have a broken arm.
Right.
You put together a sling, and you said, well, you know what? A lot of people who are in plane crashes, they're going to have broken arms, and so I'm going to pretend to do that. But you had to bail on that after a couple of days.
Yep.
Have you ever been seriously injured doing any of this?
No, I haven't. I've been with people who've been seriously injured in other situations and in survival situations, but I myself have been okay. I picked up a pretty bad parasite at one point from one of these shows, don't know which one, that was with me for about a year and was eating sort of the lining of my mouth, and that was not fun at all. But I've been pretty much okay. A lot of what I do is calculated risk, and I've been training for a lot of this stuff. It's not foolhardy. I don't, when I watch other shows that start to depict these types of survival situations, you know, running and jumping is not something you do. You know, you only run and jump through the wilderness if somebody's chasing you with a gun. You don't do that when you're trying to survive. You can hurt yourself badly and make the situation so much worse. You know, every survival instructor will say to you, calmly, cautiously, look where you're going, always look behind. And so I don't take a lot of big chances. I'm not interested in losing life or limb for the sake of a TV show, so that's why I have some kind of safety backup. I use an Iridium satellite phone, which is fantastic, except that, you know, when you're under a jungle canopy, you know, nothing works. So half the time I find, you know, my safety net's being compromised here. But I can tell you, you know, there's three, you know, when you talked about the fire and the plane crash, I mean, there's three ways of how I present things in Survivor Man. Number one is when I show something that I know really well and I've known for years, and it's kind of like, oh boy, don't I look cool, and that's great. Number two is when I know something really well, but I don't want to present it easily because it might have taken me 4 months to learn that skill, and I don't want people to be misled by thinking, oh, I could do that too. But my favorite is number three, and the plane crash show is always my example, is when I do something that I truly have never done before, like lighting the fire with gasoline and a battery and wires. That's one of those things, you know, as a teacher, I've always kind of mentioned it, but I never really did it. And this was my chance, so I'm not going to practice this before I get out there. I'm just going to do it, roll the cameras, and come what may.
And then you were really impressed that you did it.
Well, that's what I say. When you see me go woo-hoo, and it's so palpable, it's because I'm really thrilled. You know, it really is me going through it. And I look for those opportunities to do survival skills that I, you know, in 20 years of doing survival, haven't really ever, you know, bothered to try out.
Les's new season of Survivor Man starts next Friday, August 10th. You'll see him and his ever-present multi-tool and hat stranded in the Kalahari Desert. And then what are some of the other adventures in the new season?
Well, a lot of new hats, for one thing. I think I wear a different hat on each episode in this one. I was in Alaska. We did Africa, did the African plains and the Kalahari Desert. The Amazon jungle was a thrill for me to be in, and I ended up getting chased out by a 250-pound jaguar.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bit of an intense moment. I was in just finished Alaska. I was up on the shores of Alaska showing sort of seashore survival up there. I've already mentioned Labrador, and in about a week I leave for the Cook Islands in the South Pacific. And my last show is kind of Tropical Paradise, so I timed that one well.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm a fan of the show. I'm looking forward to the new season, and I hope after a few more adventures we can talk again.
Hey, I would be more than pleased to. I mean, thanks very much for having me on, and I'm thrilled that I think it's August 10th that Discovery's premiering it, and I'm quite happy with the shows this year. A little bigger, a little further beyond, but it's the same Survivor Man.
Les, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Les Stroud is Survivor Man. Friday, August 10th is the new season on the Discovery Channel. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.